I pray. Ball game's not until 3:00, so everybody just settle in. I'm not gonna keep you too long. Everybody just kindly settle in, and then you can go home this afternoon and watch the ball game. And then forget about what Dale preached on. My subject today is the importance of church membership. The importance of church membership. I'm sure that everybody probably had a New Year's resolution this year, right? You didn't? Everybody shaking their head? No. Well, you all are highly unusual life forms, because there's a lot of folks out there that makes New Year's resolutions. And they only make them to break them.
I had something to fail on my list.
I'm sure that if any one of us would have said something to ourselves just prior to or just right after New Year's about, I want to do this differently this year. I want to be a nicer individual. I want to be considerate of others. I want to do all these things better than what I did last year. I want to be thankful for my wife or the wives, my husband. More thankful. But I wonder how many times when we are in that position, we think about the church and us being a member of that church, that body. If we did, would we not be present more than what we are? Would we not care about the church more than what we do? Would we not try to promote one another and enjoy one another and love one another and unite with one another more than what we do? I don't think we put enough of the emphasis on our church membership. Now, I'm going to tell you all this right now, right up front, okay? I'm going to get it out of the way. It's the white elephant in the room right now. Church membership does not save you and will not take you to heaven.
Amen.
Let's get that right up front, okay? And that's not what I'm promoting. I'm promoting that you, being a saved person, have a responsibility to God's house. And that is that you're a member of it. When you're saved, you're baptized, not only as a means by which to show the world that you identify with the Lord, but that is a means by which you get into the church. And you are part of the body of the church. And you folks here today, and myself included, have a responsibility here, and that's not to come in and cause chaos in the church. Stop. That's not your way. That's not your place. If you go through the scriptures, you will find in the scriptures on several different occasions when it talks about the church that we unite together. We love one another. We hold each other up. We care about each other. We pray for each other. Your job is not to come in and condemn and cut down and cut people's knees out from under them. That's not your responsibility. God will take care of that. Have I got your attention yet? Okay. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not. But people need to understand it is important for you to be a active member of this body. And to promote being united together and loving one another and caring for each other and praying for each other and lifting each other up. You don't come in to the church on a Sunday morning, walk somebody by somebody and give them the hi-hat. That's not what you do. Somebody walks up, says, "Hi, brother, how are you?" Stick their hand out, and you turn around and walk off. Huh? Mm-hmm. What? You have two sisters standing over here in the corner talking about two other ones. "Did you see what she wore today? That's hideous. Did you see that crazy hairdo that she has on? I wouldn't go to a dog fight with that on my head." Is that united? Nope. Are you ready to get up, walk out the door now?
Nope.
In every church, and I said this morning in Sunday school class, in about every church you go into, you will find the cliques. Mm-hmm. And that ain't right either. Brother Harry always told us up there at Little Sewell, he said, if you want to divide a church, try to do something or try to build something. You'll divide. Is that a united church? Is that people being led by the Holy Spirit of God? No. It's what I want. It's what I care about. Am I being mean? Let's go to the scriptures and see what the scripture says and see if the scriptures backs up what I've just told you and said to you. Okay? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll go down to about 30, verse 12, and we'll finish out the chapter. Listen closely to what this says. Listen very closely to what this says, and you tell me if we're members in good standing in the body of Christ. For as the body is one, and hath many members, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Everybody there? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. He doesn't give you any ability to be able to ditch that responsibility. You are a member of the body. Therefore, you should be active. Therefore, you should be united. Therefore, you should care and love one for one, have caring and love one for another. Boy, I'm messing this whole thing up. I need to go back and start all over again. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Remember I told you? That's the doorway into the church, the body, this, baptism. And to be baptized, what do you have to be? Saved. You have to declare that you believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you have to profess, isn't it? And on your profession of faith, what happens next? You're baptized. And you're baptized into the membership of the church. After you're given what? The right hand of fellowship. Yes? Am I right? Everybody agree? And once you become a member of this body, you are required to be active in it. I get tired of looking at people, and I've been to other churches and preached, so I'm not just preaching to you all only, But I get tired of going into churches and people walk in and sit down with this mode. Mm-hmm. Or they got their head down like this. Guess what they're doing? This. Now, you know why I get a little bit perturbed about that? Let me tell you why I get a little bit perturbed about that. I never thought before the Lord called me into the ministry to preach, I did not appreciate what kind of work goes into this. I didn't appreciate that. Oh yeah, I sit down and study a little bit to be able to teach Sunday school class. But this is a whole lot more responsibility, and you have to know what you're doing and what you're saying. Because why? Because God in heaven is going to hold me accountable for what I'm doing and saying here today. And Brother Don too, and Brother Mike too, and whoever else gets in the pulpit. But when you put in, I don't know how, I'm new at this, so it takes me a lot longer to get stuff to sink in here. I don't know how much time Brother Don puts in on his sermon, and I don't know how much time Brother Mike does. That's none of my business. But I can tell you, you ask my truth platform back here behind Sister Dolores, and she'll tell you. Dale Osborne puts about 4, 5, or 6 hours a week into one sermon. And for me to come in here and want to preach to you God's word that He's laid on my heart, and you're sitting there going like this, or you're looking out the window, or you got your phone out in front of you, I have a problem with that. If you think there's nothing to it, you try. You try sitting down and fixing up a sermon for about 30 minutes, 35 minutes, or 40 minutes. And put 5 or 6 or 7 hours into that. You just don't sit down and it comes to you, folks. You have to do research. And you have to make sure of what you're saying is truth to God's word. Not something that somebody wants to hear that makes them feel good. It's truth to God's word. And for members to come in to God's house and sit down in front of that man or that man back there and sit there and not pay any attention to him and go out the door and complain. Oh, I didn't care for what he said this morning. Are you a good active member of the church when you do that? Are you? I apologize if I offend somebody here today. But it's like I've said before. There is a way to do something, and then there's a right way to do it. And then there's God's way to do it. And He placed you into this body to be an active, good, upstanding member of this church. And when you come in and you fold your arms and you say, you're giving the pastor that idea of, bless me if you think you can. You're wrong. You're out line. You're out of step. I'm sorry. But you are. You should pray for that man. You should love that man. You should care about that man. You should hold that man up. And not walk out the door to somebody out there on the street and say, I don't like him. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he does. I don't like what he stands for. Don't do it. Now, let's go on. For the body is not one member. You're not exclusive, folks. I know lots of times out there in the world it's all about me. You're not one member. You're not high and mighty. Nobody worships or grovels at your feet. But you are one member of many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Now let me stop right here before I go on hollering and snotting and carrying on up here again. You are not exclusive. Okay? You don't run the show. You cannot walk off and say, well, just because they didn't do it my way, I'm not going to do anything. No. Oh, you did not just say that. We are fitly, or should be, fitly joined together.
Amen.
And unfortunately, you have members that says, just what I said a minute ago, if you don't do it my way, I'm not going to do anything. I'll just walk in and stand there and be present, and that's it. None. You're required to be active. Let's go on. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God, underline this, highlight it, whatever you want to do. But anytime you see but, we're changing. We're making a change here. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased body. Or as it has pleased Brother Drew. No. No. You don't get to make the decision on who's here and who's not. Who's called and who's not. You're not the one who wears the breeches. Can I say that? Can I get by with that? You're not the one who wears the breeches. God hath set every member of the church in the body according as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. He's explaining it here. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's being taught here in 1 Corinthians. It's talking about the membership of the church. Do you? And I'm being wild-eyed bushy-tailed today, I guess. But do you understand? Do you sit down? Do you try to figure out how important you are as a member of this church? Or do you just show up? No, I ain't got anywhere to go today. I'll just go to church. Each and every time that door's open back there, we should be here. Mm-hmm. If we're not providentially hindered. Right, brother? Right. And not only should we be here in body, just to prove a point that I am a member of the Lily Valley, but you are to be an active member. I don't care if you clean the commodes in the bathrooms or empty the trash. That makes you an active member of the Lily Valley Baptist Church. And folks should not, you know, when somebody does something menial like that, you should not look down your nose upon them, at them. They're just as important as you are.
Yep.
You ladies, us men would not look like we do right now if it wasn't for you ladies and your all's ability that God has given you to cook. And bless your hearts. Even though some of you may grumble about it, we're blessed by you all bringing food here on Sunday and feeding us. What are you? You're an active member of the church, aren't you? You say, well, I made the food at home. I just brought it in to help out. No. You're a member of the church. That is part of your calling. I didn't want to say responsibility. But that is a part of your calling. The church has set this up this way, and you are to be active in it. Yes or no?
Yep.
When we have vacation Bible school, I ain't gonna go up there and fool around with these kids all week long. They drive me nuts. Oh no, you did not say that. That is an activity of the church. You are a member of that church. You should be willing to help out with VBS and not grumble about it. Am I being too mean?
No.
Let's go on. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You don't make fun of them. You don't look down your nose at those that are less in our midst. You don't go out and bellyache and come, oh, they just come to church and eat our dinner and they never bring anything to help out. No. 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 You want to get up and walk out yet?
No.
You don't know, but they may have not been able to even have, those folks that do that may not have been even able to have met their obligations paying their bills this month. And you still expect them to bring stuff and be active? Let's go on. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Those that think so much less of themselves than what you do, and I'm paraphrasing here, we ought to be ready and willing to lift them up, not to degrade them anymore. We bestow more honor on them, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. Again, there should not be division. There should not, he even goes on, and we're going to see this in a few minutes. There should be no schisms in the body. If you sit there and you look across the way with contempt at somebody else in the church, you're wrong. You're out of line. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. that there should be no schisms, as I said, in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. This is not Dale Osborne. This is Word of God. This is what God teaches. And my Bible tells me and teaches me this one fundamental thing. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him what is it?
Sin.
It's sin. It's here in the Bible. How we can be active, important, unadulterated, loving, kind, caring members of the church. It's here. You can't deny it. It's here. Bottom line, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Let me get in your grill one more time. How often do we practice this? When one person suffers, we all suffer. When one person has a need, we should provide that need. Instead of going around complaining and bellyaching. I know you, I can see the look on your all's face. You all aren't liking this. Guess what? I didn't bring it down here to throw the whole horse on top of you. I had to eat a lot of this whenever I was studying it and putting it together.
Truth's the truth.
It made me very uncomfortable because I had to look here. I had to look here. What does the Bible say? What comes out of here is here. And it declares a lot of an individual. Now ye are members of the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. If you don't believe me on what I'm telling you this today, and you think I'm embellishing things, now I'm getting into my sermon. Go to the book of Acts and read about it. You don't have to go there right now. I said go to the book of Acts. I meant go to the book of Acts when you have time and opportunity. I've got to get these last few points in. But in Acts 2, 1 through 13, it talks about the church gathering together and the Holy Spirit coming to the church. Okay? The Holy Spirit was given. Then in Acts 2, 41 through 47, it talks about when the Holy Spirit came to the church, there were 3,000 souls saved and added to the church. That's membership. It's membership. It's membership of that church. 3,000. I think I read somewhere where Spurgeon had like 1,400 or 1,500 members in his church. It was a great church. We're lucky to have what? 50? and we live in this community. What does it tell you? We go, Brother Mike and I go down to Bartlesville to preach down there. They got 7 or 8. And they've got that big expanse down there where they're at. But each one of you all that are members of this body, God has placed here. Each one of the members of Bartlesville that are there, God put there. Let me go on with this. I've got 3 points. And I've got about 10 minutes. My 3 points are this when it comes to the importance of church membership. And I know I may have gotten things turned kind of. But the first point is grow. 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 Let's go to, wait a minute, let me tell you this. I wanted to give you these before I got to the point, so let me back up and then we'll go on to the points. It says this, I found this, and I like this. To become a member of a church is to formally commit oneself to an identifiable local body of believers who have joined together for specific divinely ordained purposes. These purposes include receiving instruction from God's Word. Are you okay with that? That seemed to be okay with you all? Okay. Now, I want to read to you what. And I still pray that one of these days I'll be able to make these wonderful statements that somebody would sit down with their pen and write out that statement. But, you know, I don't know what the Lord's got for me. Spurgeon said this, "If I had ever joined a church till I had found one that was perfect," Brother Don, you, Brother Mike, and some of the rest of you may already know about this comment that he made. "I should never have joined one at all." This is Spurgeon. "And the moment I did join it, if I had found one, I should have spoiled it. For it would not have been a perfect church after I had become a member of it." That's what you call humble. That's what you call humble. That's how you can put people ahead of you and your wants and your desires and your feelings. He also said this. This I really like too, because I had to write both down. "My constant prayer is that we would have hearts knit together so tightly that no distraction or worldly pursuit could restrain or hinder us from being loving and serving one another." He went on to say after that prayer that he was talking about there, "Perfect? No. Dearest place on earth? I hope so." That was from Spurgeon. Now let's go to this thing. Oh, let me go back to Acts again. The last part of Acts, the first part of Acts chapter 5. You want to know how dangerous it can be for a child of God in a body to do something wrong? You want me to tell you how important church membership is? Ananias and Sapphira, you remember them? They were members of the church. They sold their land like they were supposed to. They were members of the church. What was they supposed to do being members of that church? Take the money. Take it to the church, right? In our language, what did they do? They shafted the church. They didn't take it all in. What happened to them? What happened to them? They died. Both of them. God killed them. You think church membership's not important? You think doing God's work in His house is not important? They lost their lives. I know it might be a stretch for some of you theologians in here, but I could draw it together pretty good. And to draw it together is this. If you don't take your church membership and your job and your duties and your responsibility in the church the way you should, and with great care and loving kindness, it could cost you. Maybe not your life, but it could cost you. It could cost you. You could be that gangrene member of that body that rots and falls off. Now, let's go on. Okay? Spurgeon also said this one last thing. He would rather give up his pastorate than admit any man to the church who was not obedient to the Lord's command. And such a course would certainly promote the downfall of any church that practiced it. Ouch. Oh. How many people do we have that says, I'm a member of the Lily Valley Baptist Church or another church that isn't saved? That made the profession of faith here, not here. We better be careful, folks. Because even Spurgeon said it could cause the downfall of the church. Isn't that what he said? Spurgeon believed greatly in regenerate church membership. Do we not? Do we feel like that somebody could come skipping and hopping, hipping and stomping? I sound like Brother Don. I'm going to have to quit here. Hopping and skipping up the aisle and them say, well, I feel like I'm saved. Brother Noah, I hope you don't mind me using you for an example.
Anybody do it all the time.
Brother Mike, you didn't need to say that about Brother Noah. But I'm going to use Brother Noah as an example. I'm going to tell you this. And you didn't know anything about this, so I hope I'm not embarrassing you. I told my wife when Brother Noah come forward and said that the Lord saved him and he come to be baptized, I told Donna, I said, he's in it for the long haul. He's in it for the long haul. He'll be here when we're gone. Lord willing, and things continue on. He's here for the long haul. There's been folks that's come in here and said, well, I think the Lord saved me. We're that. We've got people on the rolls that hasn't been here for what, a year and a half? And you say you're a member of the Lily Valley Baptist Church? What? I miss a service or two here and I'm going, oh, I got to get back to church. I miss them people. Regenerate means that God brings us to a new life. You've heard the continual phrase, born again. You have been changed from what you were to what you are now. Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. Hath quickened us. What's quickened? Made alive. Changed us. We were dead. Now we're alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are new. Now I can get to the point, okay? Point one is to grow. Church membership helps us to grow. If you have said that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've been baptized, and you're a member of this church, and you never show up, are you going to grow? I don't care. You could tell me that I could read my Bible and study it at home, and I could grow by leaps and bounds. No, you can't. You can grow some. But do you think the Holy Spirit is going to open up the Word of God to you if you're disobedient about going to His house? I don't think so. You know, and then these people that said, well, I can worship God at home. No, you can't. Where did He tell Israel that He was going to meet with them? Here, in His house. Second Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we need to come here. We need to hear the Word expounded upon. We need to hear the Word preached and taught so that we can grow. And guess what? You aren't going to know how to treat one another if you're never here. That's another way to learn. Everybody's getting, they got their bellies full. Everybody's ready to go home and take a nap. The second point I wanted to get to you today was give. Grow. Give. You know where I'm going with this. You already know, right? You already know where I'm going with this. Tithe, right? No, not so much. It's included. But give, time, talent, and tithes. And that means whenever the church, listen folks, listen up, look up here. That means whenever the church has decided that we're going to have a work day, we have two people show up. You say that's not a church function. That is a church function. The church has decided to do something. You should be here instead of out on the creek bank fishing. You give your time. You come to God's house. You learn. You help with things that the church is going to do. You need to even come in and help with cleaning the church. Up a little soul once a year. The church gathered together and cleaned in the spring. They've done their spring cleaning up there. Washed windows. Washed walls down. Painted, cleaned up out around the building and stuff like that. Was that church perfect? No. Is this church perfect? No. But we should be willing to give our time to do that instead of belly aching and complaining about it. I'm losing you, folks. Talent. Oh, I can't do that. Oh. Oh, I can't do that. I can't teach like they do. I can't sing like they do. You're ducking your responsibility. God gave you a talent. Use it or lose it. And then tithing. I'm trying to hurry up. I'm really not trying to hurry up. tithing. God's house operates on what you are required to bring in to the storehouse. I'm going to read you this. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it. Brother Don's job, being the pastor here, is to teach and preach to the church about tithing. It's not my responsibility. I'm talking to you about it. But let me read you a couple of things, and then I'll go to my third point and I'll quit. We can go on and watch ball games. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says, and this is talking about tithing. Bring ye all the tithe. You can't deny that this is not talking about tithing, because that's what it says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, or that my house might be able to operate. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I can give you the other side of it. You don't pay your tithes, guess what's going to happen to you? He'll exact it. And sometimes he'll exact it with interest. I don't care. Now let me say this. And I know you're going to castigate me for saying this. If you would get, let's say, off the top of my head, okay, a $20,000 windfall, I don't care how you got it, as long as you didn't steal it, but you get, let's say you got an inheritance from some faraway uncle, $20,000, and you bring $2,000 of it into the storehouse of God. Is that right? If you get a $50,000 windfall, do you bring $1,000 into the house of God? I need this money. I can pay my bills off. I can buy me a new car. I can go on a vacation. I can guarantee you one thing. If you get something like that, you don't pay your 10%, at least your 10% out of it. At least. That's what's required. If you don't pay at least 10% out of it, guess what? He's going to get that 10%, maybe a little bit more. And he'll make you uncomfortable while he's doing it. The Lord himself said, let me give you what the Lord himself said in his own words. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give it into your bosoms. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. Go there. Write it down. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Go back there and read it. You want to get God's blessing that will just overwhelm you? Do what he says. Tithe. Give to the house of the Lord. We have to have it. Can I say that, Brother Don? We have to have it. That's how the church operates. And when you withhold that you're required, according to God's word, to do, when you withhold that, the church suffers. And that's all I'm going to say about that, Brother Don. You can take that from that. You can take that up from that point on in a future a sermon. Third point is go. 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 Go, 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 go. Number one, go to the house of the Lord. Number two, go to your communities. Number three, go out beyond that. And what are you supposed to do? Witness. You're supposed to go out according to God's word, and you're supposed to witness to the lost. You witness how? Through your life, number one, and through your mouth, number two. So we are to grow. We are to, I forgot the other one. Give, grow, give, and go. That's what God requires for us as members of His body. And let me add one other one. Let me add one other G to that. Okay? You know, grow, give, and go. And let me add one more, and I'll finish up. Get along. I'm done, brother.